Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Welcome, welcome once again to the Master Plan. Yes, it is on a fine Sunday morning, Eastern Standard Time, 10 a.m. You know where that you know where you're at, and you know you what you're listening to. We got a big show in store for you today. But get your pen, piece of paper, get your recorder, whatever you want to keep, copy down this information. I think I can help you prepare for your fantasy draft, and hopefully give you an idea of what you should be looking at when you go into your fantasy draft. This is the middle, toward the late part of July. Fantasy football is gearing up. Some people have already done some drafts. Some people are going to be doing drafts this weekend, maybe later on today. Some people next week or so are going to start drafting up until the regular season. Training camps are opening up this week. You're going to see people emerge. You're going to see people drop by the wayside. But this is something I like to do. This is something I really have a passion for, is fantasy football. And this, we're talking about running backs. We're talking about running backs. We're talking about running backs. Let's talk about running backs. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. We're talking about running backs. Master Plan is in effect. Chat room is open.
On the dance floor all the way in VIP. I'm a rapper, I can catch her, and she will leave with me because I'm a stature. Now everybody move, everybody bounce.
Trying to pump you up, trying to pump you up. This is a good day, this is a good day. All right, people, we're talking about running backs for fantasy football. I hope you're listening. This show has been extended not for an hour. It's an hour and a half. I'm trying to get as much information out to you as possible. Like I said, this is a master plan. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The chat room is open if you'd like to jump in the chat room. I already gave you the telephone number, so if you'd like to call in, ask any question you like. If I can answer it, I will. More than likely, I can. If you got ideas or if you had comments, you don't like something what I'm saying, or you agree with what I'm saying, or you have a question of a draft or even a specific running back that you have an eye on, that you think about, call in. Let's talk about it. I'm not saying I'm the end all, the be all, but I think I have a good working knowledge of a lot of running backs in the NFL, the good and the bad of fantasy wise these running backs, and some surprises. I hope that when I bring them to light, you'll. Head to, stop and think about it. So, you know, I may have a good point there, or I'm talking out of my head. Call in. You know what the number is, 347-637-3220. Call in. Let me know. Tell me I'm full of it, or tell me, you know, I didn't think about it like that. I'm going to try that and see what happens. Anyway, I named off the first five or six, I think six running backs that I feel are the top running backs in fantasy football. Let me briefly run those down, and then we'll continue on past that. Number one, I said, was Arian Foster, but it could be disputed because I know in the drafts that I had last year, I think I picked Arian Foster in one of my drafts when I was had one of the first three picks. The running back I was targeting last year was LeSean McCoy. So understand what I'm saying. I've targeted the last 3 years. I've targeted a running back. The main running back I targeted, that running back has exploded, had a breakout year. I'm talking about the 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, is I targeted Jamaal Charles, and he exploded. Last year, not last season, the season before last, I targeted Arian Foster and got him on the cheap in the fourth or fifth round before people really realized what was going on with Arian Foster later in the drafts. So I really hit a home run with that. Last year, I felt this guy was going to explode on the scene, and he had a career-high 20 touchdowns from the Eagles. I'm talking about LeSean McCoy. I'm going to see if I can pick out another one this year. I'm still working on it. I still have ideas, but I'm going to give you a few guys that I think are in for a surprisingly good year, opposed to what the so-called experts are talking about, and I don't consider myself an expert, but I do consider myself a pretty good judge of running backs. Anyway, let me run down these first six running backs that I already had the run over last week, and I hope to get as many running backs and hope to talk to you about some guys that I feel are going to have surprisingly good seasons because of the situation they're in and the circumstances in their team. Anyway, let's talk about the first six that I rattled off. I'm going to rattle them off real quick, and then we're going to move on to the rest of the backs that I'm going to be talking about. Quite naturally, I talked about Arian Foster. He's the number one back for a lot of people. It arguably said that LeSean McCoy is the number one, but I this year I labeled him the number two. And then I went to Ray Rice. He did sign his contract, so he's in camp. He on time, so I think he's going to be the number three back. He takes up a lot of the percentage. I think it's over 30%, 33%, somewhere around there. Of the offense. So I think Ray Rice is, and he had really have Anthony Allen behind him, but he really hasn't any kind of threat or goal line threat, so he's going to be the main man. Behind that, I had Chris Johnson. I think Chris Johnson is going to make a comeback. I think he's going to make a comeback. I consider him the number four running back. Now, this is all conducive. Let me put it this way. I like it in PPR, so these guys are even stronger in PPR leagues. That's points per reception for those novices that are just going into fantasy football or don't know what the acronyms are. PPR are points per reception, okay? Anyway, after that, I like Ryan Matthews, and so that's the first five. And then after that, I like Darren McFerrin. Now, the last two I talked about, like I said last week, and I'll say it this week, these two running backs, Ryan Matthews and Darren McFerrin, high risk, high reward. Neither one of these guys were last year. Played the whole year. Darren McFerrin has missed 19 games out of the seasons that he's been in the league. So you can almost guarantee that Darren McFadden's not going to make the whole year. So you better have a viable backup. And I'm going to give you that viable backup to Darren McFerrin. And Ryan Matthews, they just signed Ronnie Brown. He's supposed to be a backup. And they also just recently signed San Diego Chargers, I'm talking about, Jackie Battle. So Jackie Battle, to me, it can be a goal line back. He's a hammer. He's a bigger back. He doesn't have that explosive speed like Ryan Matthews, and he's comparable, I guess, would be to Ronnie Brown. He's more of a hammer back. Ronnie Brown has really lost a lot of his burst. So these two guys are going to be really competing for the number two job behind Ryan Matthews. And it's a possibility that these guys may be getting in there because, like I said, Ryan Matthews, just like Darren McFadden, is high risk, high reward. So remember that when you're drafting Ryan Matthews, okay? Remember that. Now, let's get to the number seven running back that I see. Let's go this way first.
And if you talk to players on the other team, they'll tell you that they missed Albert Haynesworth. Maurice Jones-Drew bringing it back. And Maurice Jones-Drew down the sideline. Can they catch him? Maurice Jones-Drew touchdown Jacksonville. And the Jags are right back in it as the little dynamo goes 80 yards on his first.
That's right. Coming off knee surgery last year, a lot of people, including myself, red flagged Maurice Jones-Drew. Oh, my bad. You know, this is not a perfect science. This is not a perfect science, okay? You like to think it is, but it's not. Despite being in one of the worst offenses in the league, he went on to lead the league, the NFL, in carries, with 343 carries, and rushing yards with over 1,600 yards. And he placed fifth in fantasy points. Quite naturally, the coaching staff changed from Jack Del Rio to Mike Mularkey. But Maurice Jones-Drew is still a high caliber running back. Even though he's had last year, he had 386 touches, and that was the heaviest workload of his 6-year career. And it depending on if he comes into camp, and all indications are that he doesn't, but if he comes into camp on time, I see Maurice Jones-Drew let me put it this way. If he comes into camp, is the first round fantasy pick, but it wouldn't surprise me because of the heavy workload and because of the situation that he has in the quarterback and the offense, that he could be a potential fantasy bust. Let me put it that way, people. This is one of these backs that you're taking a chance on. I understand that you're really taking a chance on. He had the heaviest workload of his career, which doesn't bode well. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I can guarantee you that because a running back has had over 350, 360 touches, where Maurice Jones-Drew is closer to 400 touches than he is to 300 touches, that there's a possibility that there could be a regression in his production, and especially with the type of new coaching staff, new philosophy, with a quarterback that shies away from contact and is not has proven to not to be a reliable quarterback, to say the least. This is what I consider a very high risk and very high reward running back. I tell you the truth, every fantasy draft that I've had, I have never, ever, ever because of the risk of I see potential in this player. I've never drafted Maurice Jones-Drew. Not to saying that you shouldn't, but I have never, ever drafted Maurice Jones-Drew. And those that have drafted with me can attest to that. They've never seen me draft Maurice Jones-Drew. I've drafted a lot of players, drafted a lot of running backs that I project, but never. And I've been in position to draft Maurice Jones-Drew, and I stayed away last year for the simple fact that he had a rookie quarterback, a very putrid offense, and felt that he couldn't do well. He did fifth fantasy back in fantasy points. You can't hit a home run every time, but you try to. Let's move on with the number eight running back and hour and a half. I got to get going here. Hour and a half. The number eight running back I see in fantasy would be he was an All-American pick coming from Alabama. He used to be behind the shadow of Mark Ingram. He was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. I see Trent Richardson as the number eight overall back in fantasy football. Now, a lot of people are going to dispute Trent Richardson. What about Matt Forte? What about a few other ones? No, I think Trent Richardson. All these backs I've named so far. Now, you talked about running back by committee, okay? All these running back by committee and think that look at these backs I'm talking about. Arian Foster, LeSean McCoy, Chris Johnson, Ray Rice, Ryan Matthews, Darren McFadden, Maurice Jones-Drew, and leading up to Trent Richardson. All are the man. No running back by committee. They're the man. Trent Richardson can block, can pass, and can block, can catch the ball, and definitely a very good runner. Some of them compared him to the next coming of the AP. Well, we'll have to wait and see. He's a rookie coming into him. I mean, he's coming into an offense with a rookie quarterback, for the most part, and wide receivers that are questionable. They're trying to get some wide receivers to help the running game, to help the offense. But Trent Richardson, just like all the other backs that I named previously, is the man, is the person that's going to be carrying the ball the majority of the times. Quite naturally, all these guys get spelled. But Trent Richardson, I think, is the number eight fantasy running back in football. Next, we go to the Windy City. Okay, now, quite naturally, you know what I'm talking about. We go to the Windy City. This guy was a huge part of the Chicago Bears. I'm getting brain locked. I can't get brain locked. I got too much to cover here. Prior to week 13, before he sprained his MCL. He was along with Fred Jackson. He was battling for the most productive back in NFL. He had 1,487 scrimmage yards in 12 games, with a 4.9 his carries. His average carries per yards was 4.9. Wow, I'm so excited. I like you can tell I can like talking about running backs. Anyway, he still finished 15th in fantasy points and 9th in points per game. So Matt Forte, even though Michael Bush is there, Michael Bush is basically insurance. Matt Forte is the man. Prior to Brandon Marshall coming there last year, Matt Forte had the most explosive plays in the passing game, not the wide receivers. Matt Forte had the most explosive passing plays because of the ineptitude or the lack of lack of talent in the wide receiver core in the Chicago Bears. They had to rely that much more on Matt Forte, and Jay Cutler relied on him a lot. He was over 30-40% between that range of the offense, just like Ray Rice. He was an integral part. That's why Ray Rice, along with Matt Forte, were didn't want the franchise tag. They wanted a contract, and both of them got a contract. Both of them going to be on camp on time. Look for Matt Forte. He only had an MCL sprain, it's not like an ACL. Look for Matt Forte to be the same type of dynamic back that he was in years past, especially even now, because now Jay Cutler has his passing buddy that was in Denver, Brandon Marshall. So this Bears offense should be a little bit more explosive, should open the field a little bit more for Matt Forte to either catch the ball out of the backfield or to get the ball from the line of scrimmage and be able to run more freely without getting stacked up with the defense with the 8 or 9 man fronts. So that's I like Matt Forte a lot in there. This next guy is probably pretty controversial, and I've gone back and forth this last few weeks or whatever. I've been going back and forth. He's been one of my favorite backs over the last few years until he he still is one of my favorite backs, but he sustained an ACL tear in the second game of the season. I know you guys who know what I'm talking about now when I said that. Talking about Jamaal Charles, he's got the same body frame as Chris Johnson, same type of explosiveness, in my opinion, as Chris Johnson, which he proved for the last few years until he got hurt. They've added another guy that has taken over the reins from Thomas Jones. Now we have Peyton Hillis. Peyton Hillis is a hammer. I would think that Peyton Hillis would probably take away some goal line carries from Jamaal Charles. I still like this guy. If I was to draft Jamaal Charles, he would be probably in the second round, maybe the third round, because of the fact he has an ACL. But people, he had the ACL in the second game of the season, so he's got like a full year under his belt of a recovery. That makes a big difference in the grand scheme of things when you're judging a running back. The key is this. The key is watching him in training camp to see how when he finally is let loose in training camp, to see how he performs. And also, in the preseason games. Now, I understand he's got an ACL, so they may not play him as much as you want. But let me put it this way. If you grab him in a first round, I wouldn't blame you, but I would wait until the second. It's in the 12 team redraft Serpentine type of draft. I would wait and see if you can grab him in the second round. And more than likely, because of his name recognition, he's going to be gone because the fact is he's Jamaal Charles. There's another running back. There's a few running backs back here that have had injuries that because of name recognition, people are going to grab him. Maybe grab him too soon. You're taking it. This is a risk. I would not take Jamaal Charles in the first round. Plain and simple. Wouldn't take him in the first round. I would wait. I would definitely probably take him in the second round, late in the second round, as a running back two with upside. Because if you take him in the first round as your stud running back, as your main running back, and then you wait further in the draft to grab a running back that is talent level drops off significantly. If Jamal Charles doesn't perform for you, then you're really stuck behind the eight ball for a running back. You're probably better off taking a Steven Jackson or maybe even a Doug Martin, someone like that, because the fact is these guys don't have any injury and you didn't have an injury, and you may be better off dealing with that. So Jamal Charles is a huge question mark for me. I know he's had a career per carry average of six plus yards a run with somebody who's got at least 150 carries. So if he's got his speed back and he's able to cut, it's a tough call. And it's not if you in your mind are not sure about it, don't take the risk. That's all I can tell you. A lot of these guys, besides getting the actual data on black and white, I also have a gut feeling about certain guys, and my gut feeling tells me that Jamal Charles may take a step back. I wouldn't draft him as a in the first round. You're taking a very big risk if you do. Let's move on to another guy that's had an injury, and there's a lot of them that have had injuries, and this guy had a had a nice injury. He had an ankle that was surgically repaired. But he's healthy and running. Now, this guy, very young guy, was very explosive when he came on the scene. He had a good vision and was able to help, but he was very instrumental when he came on the scene in the Dallas offense. DeMarco Murray is my number 11 back, and I would definitely draft him. He's definitely in the second round, early third round type of back here, DeMarco Murray. I see big things happening for him. He basically has Felix Jones, who's never been a running back that has who's behind him, who's never had a history of being durable, always getting hurt, always getting nicked up. Felix Jones is an explosive back, but he's not like DeMarco Murray of speed and power. DeMarco Murray is going to be a beast this year. I see him. I see him in one of my guys that I believe that you can get in the second and third round. He's got he's an RB2, meaning running back two with RB1 potential. If he can stay healthy, he definitely has. He can definitely be a RB1 without a doubt, and he's somebody that you can get into the second, early third round. DeMarco Murray, absolutely, and he's one of these backs that can catch the ball out, also catch the ball out of the backfield. He's one of these guys that I like. He is a a double threat back. Let's move on to my number 12 back. Now, this is one of these guys I said that it's got name recognition, and you know these guys all the time. You know this guy without a doubt. When I tell you this guy's name, he was one of the best backs And he was before he got hurt, he was going to be a top five back for the fifth year in a row. He got a high ankle sprain, which didn't help, and then he tore his ACL in December. So he just had 12 games. But he still placed eighth in fantasy points, and he was tied for second in rushing touchdowns. And he also had his per carry average was 4.8. But, and this is a but, he had an ACL in December. All reports saying that he's feeling good and he's on track to he's on track to be AP of the old when the season starts. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. ACLs, you all know, especially when it has to do with a running back. ACLs, for the most part, you have to, especially in the late part of the year, in December. He had it in December. So you just count the months. January, February, March, April, May, June, July. Right now it's been 7 months. Two more months will be 9 months. That's 9 months removed from an ACL, and he had a very bad injury. I think he tore more than the ACL. So my saying is this. I don't think he's going to start the year. I think Toby Gerhardt is the back that you want from Minnesota. I think Adrian Peterson, he may start the year on a pup list, but the simple fact is he won't be ready. It's just a historical fact that if you tear your ACL, especially in the late part of the year, if you tear your ACL, that I don't care how much of a physical specimen you are, you won't be able to perform to the level you performed for before, because the fact is your body and your knee hasn't had a chance to recover from that. So understand what I'm saying here, people. You draft AP because of his name recognition, and you think that he's going to be the AP of old. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. This is a guy I would not draft in the first two rounds at all. At all. First two rounds at all. I try to grab him in the third, fourth round, stash him on my bench, and see what happens. Because I don't think he's going to be able to perform first game of the season, second game of the season, third game of the season. It's just there's no way. He had his knee shredded. There's no way. Absolutely no way. Another guy, this guy here, we're going to number 13, and we got a little less than an hour, and we got to move along here with these, what I'm saying here. This guy's been unappreciated for a while. He's just the seventh running back in NFL history to surpass a 1,000-yard mark in seven straight years. I'm talking about the guy from St. Louis, who for the longest has been a top 15 fantasy back. He's turning 29 in July, so he's near that magic age. I see him doing the same thing he's always been doing. He's got a young Isaiah P. behind him. So this is my assessment of this. Draft Steven Jackson, who I'm talking about, in the third round. Second round, second, late second, early third round. Steven Jackson's got a lot of mileage on those tires, a lot of mileage on those tires. If the offense, if Sam Bradford comes back, I see this guy as being a sleeper. But understand, he's 29 years old, a lot of mileage. He's definitely a guy that he's been one of my favorite backs. He's been durable for the most part. Even when he's hurt, for the most part, he plays, unless it's very serious and he's unable to play at all. This next back, the number 14 back, this guy, he's on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He played in college. He played for the Boise State. He was the number two back that was taken in the NFL draft, and I can understand why. I like this guy a lot, people. And I do believe you can get him probably in the third to fourth round. I like this guy a lot. Put an asterisk around this guy. Put a star around this guy. Put two stars around this guy. Put three stars around this guy. Doug Martin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as long as he stays healthy, as long as he performs in the great Schiano regime that's taken over in Tampa Bay, LeGarrette Blount is a one-option running back. The only option he has is to run the ball. Doug Martin can catch the ball, definitely run the ball, and will prove to be a decent blocker for the backfield of Tampa Bay. Now, Greg Schiano's already said he doesn't have any favorites at the running back position. But I do believe that this first rounder, if he sustains the reviews that he's had in OTAs and in the mini camps that have been taking place, then he will be getting the greater share of the snaps and the touches. And even up, and even if they do split, he'll be on the positive side of the carries and touches in the offense. This guy is, in my opinion, I like this guy a lot. I really like this guy a lot. About 5'10", 5'9", something like that. 223 pounds. He's got the body somewhat of a Ray Rice, and I think he can do the same things. I like this guy a lot. You can steal this guy in the fourth round and hope for and maybe even look for running back one potential in this guy. I do believe that Greg Schiano likes to run the football besides throwing downfield. That's two of the things he likes when he was at Rutgers, running the football. Remember, Greg Schiano's Ray Rice's coach when he was in college was Greg Schiano. Remember that, okay? He picked this guy. Tampa Bay Buccaneers picked this guy. I like this guy a lot. This is one guy I'm going to target definitely in all drafts, regardless of who's listening, who's paying attention to what I'm saying. Doug Martin is going to be a very good running back in this league and this year in fantasy. All right, let's move on to a trouble child here, number 15 back, Marshawn Lynch. Had a breakout year, went into beast mode the whole year. He was playing for a contract. He got his contract, and then what did he do recently? If you don't know, he got busted for a DUI. Come on, Marshawn. Skittles, I thought you learned your lesson. We know you had a history of off-field issues, but I thought you had resolved them. This may cost him some games. This may cost Marshawn Lynch some games. So, depending on how many games, and it'll probably happen before the beginning of the season, I would not draft Marshawn Lynch until the second, third round. He definitely is to me. He's an RB2. For the simple fact is, and I think he's a prime candidate because he got the contract extension. He's a prime candidate for a drop off. His career yards per carry is below four, and he had 13 touchdowns last year. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to drop off. He was pushing for a contract. He got paid now, and I think he's overvalued. So watch out. I've never drafted Marshawn Lynch, and I still don't because I don't trust him. Plain and simple. All right. Let's move on. Number 16 back. This guy, typical San Diego, getting rid of players or not signing players who are very crucial to their team, and it pays off for the team that grabbed them. I'm talking about the guy who's 5'6", 190 pounds, dynamo. I'm talking about Darren Sproles, went to the New Orleans Saints. I'm talking about a poster child for the new age fantasy back. He led the position in receptions with 86, receiving yards with 710, and receiving scores with 7. He was 10th in standard scoring points and 5th in PPR formats. He closed out the season with, and this is a record-breaking, 15 receptions and 19 targets against the 49ers. You know the Saints, this is one of the ultimate running back by committees. They have a three-man rotation back there. But Sproles was in there a lot, and it would be hard-pressed for the New Orleans Saints not to include this guy back into the offense as much last year. I like this guy a lot. I think he may drop off a little bit. but in PPR formats, this guy is very strong. I would draft him third round. If you're looking for another back, I would look at this guy, late third, early fourth round, if he's still around. This guy, next guy, the 17th back, hails from the other team from New York, or the real team from New York, I should say. Up until the time he got hurt, he exceeded 98 total yards in every game. He was on his way to an all-pro type of year. Even at 30, okay, he had over 5 yards per carry and 11 yards per reception before he fractured his leg in week 11. He's fully recovered. He's 31 years old now, okay? He's got a young blood in C.J. Spiller. I think he's no longer going to be dependent on as a feature back with a consistent workload. But Fred Jackson, number 17th back, you would get him in mid fourth round. I'm seeing. I wouldn't pay too much more for that fourth round or later for Fred Jackson, and that's the best I think you could do with him. From there, let's move on to another back who got hurt last year. A lot of them got hurt last year. You know, these backs got hurt, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of teams are going running back by committee. So if one back gets hurt, at least they have another back that's been in the game and can carry the load. He got thrust into the starting lineup last year because Tim Hightower had a season-ending ACL injury. He had over 1,000 yards, 200 touches, which was tops among the rookie backs. He showed explosiveness. He had he had soft hands in the passing game. He did finish as a top 10 fantasy back, despite the offense that he was in. From what I understand, I see that there's going to be another back that probably getting the first touches, from what I understand. But Roy Helu is the 18th back, in my opinion. But and I think you can get him in a sixth round as a number three back, and just hold on to him for now. This other guy, this guy here, as the number 19 back, for the Super Bowl winning Giants. He was sidelined for a month with a cracked bone in his right foot. He got it manageable that he could play. He only had 3.9 yards per carry, which was the worst in his career. So that had to be bothering him quite a bit. He placed 20th on fantasy as a fantasy back. You know, I understand that Ahmad Bradshaw it can be an explosive player, but he's one of these guys that he's high risk, high reward, and I think he's overvalued, to tell you the truth. A lot of people are going to probably draft him in the third or fourth round, but I think he's still overvalued in that. I don't think he's worth that. You probably can get it. If it was me, I would draft him later. Don't forget that the Giants also drafted another running back, David Wilson, in the first round to replace Brandon Jacobs. So I see them doing the same thing that they did with Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw. And David Wilson sharing carries with Ahmad Bradshaw. Just remember that. This other back, let me tell you something. I consider him a very good back in a very bad situation. His contract is up this year. He'll be a free agent next year. He's 25 years old. He's a very undervalued back. Like I said, he's in a bad situation. He had between 5.5 to 6 yards per carry last year. He has the potential to be a running back one, but with the three-headed backfield of Mike Tolbert, D'Angelo Williams, and the one I'm talking about is Jonathan Stewart, this is a, unless both those guys get hurt, this is a Running back, I would stay away in fantasy drafts. I wouldn't think about drafting him no later than the seventh or eighth round, maybe ninth round, because the fact is it's a three-headed monster. You never know who's going to be the main back in any given time. So he may be undervalued, but he's undervalued for the simple fact that he's a good back, but he's in a bad situation. Next back I'm going to talk about is another guy that has gotten hurt and really hasn't been a reliable back because of the fact he's always getting hurt. And last year he got sidelined by a knee injury. I see this one being a running back by committee type of thing, along with Ryan Williams, who tore his patella tendon. So both these guys got hurt last year. Let me put it this way. I see Beanie Wells as a running back three, maybe four. For the simple fact is, you never know what you're going to get with Beanie Wells, and it's only a matter of time before he gets hurt. It's only a matter of time before he gets hurt. And that's the story about him. I'm not too high on Beanie Wells. I wouldn't draft him be like Jonathan Stewart. There's going to be a running back by committee. One of these guys is sure to get hurt. More than likely, it's going to be Beanie Wells. Ryan Williams will take over. I apologize to the folks. For some reason, I got connected. I really apologize for that. Let's continue on to what we were saying. We got about 35 minutes left in the show. For some reason, I got disconnected. I really apologize for that. Let's continue on. Like I said, this guy, I see bust potential for this guy. Right off the bat, I'm going to tell you who this guy is. He can help some. San Francisco, I see bust potential for Frank Gore. Listen to who I'm talking about here. Kendall Hunter, Brandon Jacobs, LaMichael James, Frank Gore. You got a four-headed, not a two or a three. You got a four-headed backfield on Frank Gore. Quite naturally, you would think that Frank Gore would be the lead back. Well, he's lacked consistency and fantasy upside for a true feature back. He's 29 years old, and he's probably got more mileage than a 29-year-old. I see bust potential for him. I'm looking to Kendall Hunter, Judge Brandon Jacobs will be the hammer, and LaMichael James. Look for LaMichael James to maybe do a little bit more than what people realize. I know he may be on the special teams, but this is a strong possibility that this is the year that we see Frank Gore take a turn for the worse. Speaking of turn for the worse, this guy is 30 years old. Falcons were among the league's worst in first downs and negative plays on the ground, primarily because Michael Turner can no longer recreate on his own. The coaching staff showed no confidence in Turner when they let Matt Ryan in a pair of fourth and inches convergence, which they didn't make. That's what I'm telling you right now. He averaged in the last five contests last year 3.24 yards per carry. That's horrible. They already said that they were going to lighten the load of Michael Turner this year. So I know he has a name, but there is no way, and I've never liked this guy because he's one of these one-dimensional guys. He carries, he runs the ball. That's all he does. You very rarely, if any time, see him catch the ball in a passing situation. So, in my opinion, Michael Turner is overvalued. Do not go for him. Do not. Unless you are absolutely placed in the corner, do not go for him. You can get better value later in the rounds. Speaking of better value, C.J. Spiller is one of these players that I think is going to emerge as a good back. He's not a very big back. He's 197 pounds. He's along the same lines as Jamal Charles or Chris Johnson. But I don't think he's as durable as those two backs. But I think he's just as versatile. So I see C.J. Spiller as a very versatile back, and I think come midseason that he'll be the feature back along with Fred Jackson, who's 31 years old and definitely slowing down. This guy. Next guy out of Miami, down in Miami type of Miami team, it's going to be a very versatile back in the West Coast offense. He proved he can run the ball. Now let's we know he can catch the ball, so he proved he can run the ball, and I think Joe Philbin and Mike Sherman are going to be able to use. Reggie Bush in a Darren Sproles type of atmosphere. I think they got Lamar Miller in the third round to add more to that running back, and I think that's going to be beneficial. And I would draft Reggie Bush probably in the fifth round, somewhere in the fifth round, sixth round range. Moving on to my number 26 back. This guy hails from the Gangrene, my former team. Gets Tony Sperano, which replaced Brian Schottenheimer as an offensive coordinator. But the caveat here is they also traded for Tim Tebow as a potential goal line vulture. John Green is a mediocre talent. He's along the same lines as in my opinion, a Michael Turner, LeGarrette Blount type of back. He's a one-dimensional back. He runs the ball. Very rarely will you see him catch the ball in space. He's not that type of runner. That means he's limited in your fantasy production. That means I would not draft Sean Green until the seventh round or sixth round, somewhere in that vicinity. Anything higher than that, then you're paying too much for him, and you may get burnt in the long run. Next guy I'm talking about would be one of my favorite backs, even though he's gotten hurt over the year with multiple concussions. This guy is a very extremely dynamic back when he's on the field. He was given Darren Sproles a run for his money as the top pass catching back before he got his second concussion in October. Now he ended the season in October. This goes to show you how dynamic this back was when he got hurt. He finished as a top 10 fantasy back in points per game through 6 weeks. He did play. All right? He was if he can stay healthy, which is a big if, and he hasn't been cleared from what I understand for contact drills yet. If he can stay healthy, for the time you have him, I think he's undervalued. I like Jahvid Best a lot. He's the type of back, when he's in there, he can cause havoc with the against the defense. I know you can probably get him in the 12 times 72, in the 7th or 8th round, probably in the 7th round. All right, you probably can get him probably in the 7th round. His average draft position is 80. So in a 12-team league, that would be in the 7th round. If he lasts that long, you probably be you probably have to get him out in the 7th round, maybe the 6th round, late 6th round, early 7th round. But I think he's undervalued. I would take a chance on him as being my running back two, or maybe even running back three. Probably running back three. And you may get a steal if he can give you a decent amount of games. This other guy, this next guy I'm talking about, not sure, okay? Let me put it this way. I think he'll be a bust. I know that he was a decent back when Tim Tebow was there, but he's long in the tooth, and he's long in the tooth. He's especially for running backs. 31 years old. He's a borderline two. A borderline two. He's 31 years old, people. Denver did draft a change of pace back, Ronnie Hillman, in the 3rd round. So he may run well, but look for Ronnie Hillman. Look for Ronnie Hillman to emerge with Peyton Manning out of that backfield. Willis McGahee is long in the tooth. And he's had multiple leg injuries. So we'll have to wait and see about that, how that shakes out in training camp, and who'll be the better back. There's another back. Young team, young quarterback, with a lot of talent that left and very little talent that's still there. This guy was a first-round bust, and he's entering the season as a very brittle back. I know Chuck Pagano and Bruce Arians are probably going to try to run the ball quite a bit because the fact is that Andrew Luck has taken over for Peyton Manning in the Indianapolis Colts, but Donald Brown I think is overvalued. And they do have Melody Moore that they added late. I think they're going to try to run the ball quite a bit. But Donald Brown, I don't think is the answer here. I think he's in the 8th, 9th round range. And I have to think that he would be just a fill-in if you wanted this to be just a fill-in at all for the most part. His average draft position approximately is 104. So 104 in a 12-team league. That's that's 8th round, 8th, 9th round, something like that. So, it is what it is. This next guy, in my opinion, is one of the biggest sleepers in fantasy football this year. Listen to what I'm saying here. I know I've waited until less than half an hour into the show. Listen to what I'm saying here. I know there's going to be a lot of skepticism on this one. I've talked about this guy last year. In fact, I talked about him a year before, a season before, and he showed flashes in a Super Bowl run, and he's showed flashes in a Super Bowl run, and I thought he was going to have a breakout year last year. It didn't prove that, but I guarantee, well, I should say guarantee, but I am very, extremely high on this guy. Let me put it this way. My star system is this. Out of four stars, I'm putting four stars on this guy. I talked about him before. I'm talking about him now. You can steal him in the eighth or ninth round. I truly believe you can steal him in the eighth or ninth round. And I believe this team, I haven't talked about it until now, but I believe this team, even though they're primarily a passing team, even though that they have the best quarterback in the NFL, considered the best quarterback even by the players, I believe that the Green Bay Packers are going to be running the ball more this year than they have in the past, and I think the beneficiary of that is going to be James Starks. I know he runs an upright guy, but he's the unquestioned starter for the first time in a three-year career. The coaching staff has said they have confidence in James Starks. The only other back behind him right now is Alex Green. Up until this point, they haven't gotten another veteran running back other than so they have Sane as the backup. They have John Kuhn, who takes away some goal line carries. I don't think that's going to happen with a hammer like James Starks. Maybe they use him at occasion, but because Kuhn is that versatile. But James Starks can catch the ball, he can run the ball, and he's good in protection in the backfield. I believe that James Starks is going to be one of the big surprises of fantasy football in running back position. I know that's a very bold statement. I know a lot of people saying you're full of garbage, you don't know what you're talking about. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to be running the ball a lot more than most people think, and James Starks is going to benefit from that. And like I said, you can steal him in the eighth or ninth round, thinking that you're going to be getting a fill-in running back for a bye week, which is bye week is bye week 10. But this guy, in my opinion, is going to emerge as a very good back. This is his third year. He has a clear path for the number one position. No one's in his way or threatening to be in his way. So watch out for James Starks this year. The next guy I'm talking about is one and one A. And then both of them, I told you before about one of them who's undervalued. This guy's undervalued. But the reason they're undervalued is because they have three running backs back there. You don't know who's going to be the starter. You don't know who's going to get the majority of the carries. He played just 43% of the offensive snaps compared to 55% for Jonathan Stewart. All right? He was only the 26th place fantasy back. And the Carolina Panthers had a top seven NFL offense. And then they bring in Mike Tolbert. So D'Angelo Williams, where is your value? Honestly, he's undervalued. But he's undervalued for a reason. You got a three-headed backfield. The key is this, people. You try to get a back that is not running back by committee. You try to get a back that is a dual threat for the simple fact is, regardless if it's in a PPR or not, he's a dual threat. That means he's able to get the ball handed off to him and take it to the house, or catch the ball in space and take it to the house. Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams can do both of those, but who's going to be the main back? I just gave you the breakdown. 43% for Williams, 55% for Stewart, but that can change from game to game, depending on how the flow of the game. You don't have a dependable back that you know is going to be getting the ball all the time, because the fact is that it's a committee, and now it's a tri-mittee. You got three backs, Mike Tolbert, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart. That's too much. I understand they want to take the stress off the running backs. So this is the philosophy of the Carolina Panthers. Plus, you have Cam Newton running the ball. So this is a backfield for me to stay away from. This other guy. Now you had Rashad Mendenhall. He suffered a torn ACL. So who's going to take his spot? You got Todd Haley as the offensive coordinator. They said they were going to run the ball a lot more this year. So who's going to be the main, supposedly the main back? Isaac Redman. Isaac who? He's not an explosive back, and he doesn't run that well. I understand that he's going to be the main back. I understand that they're going to want to run the ball that much more, but he's an RB3 in my opinion. He's an RB3, RB4. He's not. He's got bust potential written all over it. So buyer beware if you take Isaac Redman if you happen to be a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Let's move on to another injury prone back. Scott Hale from New Orleans, formerly from the University of Alabama. This is another running back by committee. You got Pierre Thomas. You got Mark Ingram, who we're talking about. And you also have Darren Sproles that has duties in the backfield. And Mark Ingram doesn't catch the ball that much. He played in just 10 games, but in a rotation, like I said, with Darren Sproles and Pierre Thomas. He missed the whole entire offseason, even though he said he's going to be 100%. His knee's been prepared twice in 3 years. And if you think if he has a big workload, do you think that he's going to be able to deal with it? So my thing is this. He's a injury concern to me, plus the fact he's in a running back by committee. You probably can get him 7th round, 8th round, the most. I'm staying away from Mark Ingram. Next guy I'm talking about, another running back by committee. He's the less dynamic of the duo that's going to be running back by committee. He may be taking some of the goal line carries because he's more of a third down battering ram. Even though his body, he had a hard time staying healthy. I'm talking about Peyton Hillis is taking over the role that Thomas Jones had. So, I know people may fall in love with Peyton Hillis. I think this is the negative side of the two running back by committee. I think Jamaal Charles is the more dynamic back. If you were to take a running back out of the Kansas City backfield, it would be the Jamaal Charles. He's got more upside than Peyton Hillis. Peyton Hillis, like I said, is a battering ram. He's only averaged last year he averaged about his supposedly breakout season, since the second half of his breakout season in 2010, he's only averaged 3.6 yards a carry on 161 carries, and he played through a hamstring injury, and all kinds of diva issues. I mean, he wanted to play. He didn't want to play last year. He had all kinds of problems. He wanted a new contract. All kinds of things were going on with Peyton Hillis. Issues of last year. That's one of the reasons why he's not playing in Cleveland. And Chiefs picked him up just because of the fact that they needed a offset of what Jamaal Charles brings to the table, and Jackie Battle of last year didn't do enough to keep him. Okay. This is the other half of the dynamic duo in Houston. We're talking about Ben Tate. He became the backup running back to, and lack of a better term, change of pace back for the Houston Texans. He's a very steady back. He was like 60 yards shy of 1,000 yards. He had 5.4 yards per carry, so he's an abled running back if Arian Foster goes down. My suggestion to you is this: if you have Arian Foster, you can get Ben Tate in the eighth round, seventh or eighth round, to back up Arian Foster. And you shouldn't have too much of a decline. He's a versatile back. He can do the things Arian Foster can do. So he's a handcuff to Arian Foster. That's the only thing. I wouldn't draft him to be putting in the lineup because you never know what kind of play he's going to get from week to week. So if Arian Foster has a season-ending injury, and that's how I make it. If he has a season-ending injury, then this guy can break out as an every-down back. But that's the caveat. He's going to play behind Arian Foster. This is a good play-behind type of back. I see him, as long as he stays healthy, and whenever his contract runs out with the Houston Texans, that he'll be going to try to get to another team with starter potential. But right now, as it stands, he's sitting behind Arian Foster as the backup and as a handcuff to him. That's how I would see him. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. We're talking about running backs. And if you are listening, this is what you're going to do.
DJ Khaled. Yeah. All I do is win, no matter what.
That's what you want to do. When you draft, you want to win your draft. And one of the basis of winning your draft is getting a solid running back core. I'm giving you running backs that you can get early, in between, and late. Hopefully you are listening. If not, you can play the archives back for the last two programs. This one I'm finishing up with about 10 minutes left in it. And then next last week where I started it off. Okay, there's a few players I definitely want to get to here, so let's go. This guy here, he moved teams from the New England Patriots, was a running back by committee, and he'd gone to Cincinnati. He's had 18 touchdowns. Let me put it this way: of his 18 of his 24 touchdowns. In goal-to-goal situations, that's what he's scored in the last 2 years. He's not an explosive back. He's a plotting-type back. In my opinion, this guy is not as good as the present back, which is Bernard Scott. I think this guy is overvalued. I think I see him as a bust potential. He's considered like in the sixth round. But I see him as the current bust potential. I'm talking about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I see this next guy as being a potential number one back. He may finish in the top 30 in fantasy points, but he'll have to hold off Shane Vereen. I'm talking about and Joseph Addai. This is a New England back, Stephen Ridley. You know how they roll. Running back by committee, I stay away from any of these running backs because you never know what you're going to get with them. This guy here, the next guy I'm talking about, it got picked up number 32 because of the world champions, quite naturally, won the Super Bowl. And this guy, they let Brandon Jacobs walk. This guy, people, is another guy because the fact is he's an explosive back with freak athleticism. He's 5'10", 206-pound, and he's a weight room dynamo. I think this guy is an explosive change of pace option behind Ahmad Bradshaw, and I see this guy being a serious threat to Ahmad Bradshaw. I understand he's young. He needs to learn the pro way. Come midseason, Ahmad Bradshaw, more than likely, will get nicked up. David Wilson will take over the reins. And Ahmad Bradshaw, you may not see it again. This kid, David Wilson, I like this kid a lot. I like him a lot. I think he's going to do a lot. He's going to raise some eyebrows, and you can get him probably eighth round, ninth round, and he'll be a nice stash on your bench, and just wait for Ahmad Bradshaw to get hurt and plug him in and let him go. Next guy on the list, this guy is he's going to be the main back. He's going to be the main back for a short time. I don't think Adrian Peterson is going to be the starting back come the beginning of the year, beginning of the football season. I think this guy is going to have to be the main back. I think he's a rock solid running back too. I think he can definitely be a consistent back for you. He's not going to be your heart and soul. You can get him way down in the draft, probably in the 11th round, somewhere in the 11th round. Toby Gerhardt, I'm talking about. Michael Bush is a nice handcuff to Matt Forte. Doesn't have the explosiveness or the versatility like a Matt Forte is. But he's a decent handcuff, but that's his limit. He's a decent handcuff. Ronnie Hillman, which is the next guy. I got 5 minutes left in the show. He was drafted the 67th overall in the draft. I think he's a change of pace. He has excellent vision. May have to work on his action. And John Fox. So this guy's going to come along slowly. But if Willis McGahee has the possibility that he's going to get nicked up, and Willis McGahee gets hurt, this guy can emerge as a major contributor. So look out for Ronnie Hillman. Let me talk about okay, we got 4 minutes left in the show. I like that. are going to have suspended. Mikel LeSure, I think he's going to have a main back for Detroit, and I like him a lot. Another guy, because I see this is coming down the road, I see Robert Turbin more than likely being the feature back for the Seattle Seahawks due to Marshawn Lynch being suspended. I see Marshawn Lynch probably getting a 5-6 game suspension if his DOI holds up, and Robert Turbin taking that over and being not too bad of a change for the time being. Let me get one more guy before we close this show out. And who do I want to? Who else do I want? Do I want to get him? Okay. This guy I talked about last year. I got a little more than 2 minutes left in the show. This guy I talked about last year. Unfortunately, he got hurt not too long after Darren McFadden got hurt and really didn't show his true potential. Right now, it's Darren McFadden, Mike Goodson, and Tywan Jones in the Oakland backfield. Not necessarily the last two, not necessarily 2 and 3. So what's going to happen is that the Raiders traded for Mike Goodson after losing Michael Bush. So Michael Goodson and Tywan Jones are going to compete for the second down, the backup role. I see Tywan Jones being a solid backup to Darren McFadden. He's got the same makeup. He's 6'1", 6'2", 195 pounds. What does that remind you of? That reminds you of Jamaal Charles, and also reminds you of Chris Johnson. This guy, if he gets in the lineup, and more than likely he will, it will show you his explosiveness. If Darren McFadden, when he goes down, I think this guy is going to emerge on the scene. That's it for now. I'll be updating you during the off season, rest of the off season, leading up until the first games in training camp. Some of these guys are going to be getting hurt. Quite naturally, their appeal, their position is going to drop. But you can get me. You can call back next week, same time, same place, 10 a.m. Master Plan. Tune in on Thursday, which we'll be starting to talk about the fantasy football on the FSP Cruise Show, which is 8 o'clock with me. And Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker are hosting that show at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And then we have the No Chaser, hosting by Mac Williams and myself, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next week, Vic won't be on the show. I will be taking the show over. It'll be the FSP show on 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. And like I said, right back here, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, would be the Master Plan. As always, it's a pleasure talking to you. We'll be talking to you down the road. Like I said before, running backs are what I like to do. I'll be talking in and out for the next few weeks, for the rest of the fantasy football season, on any kind of tidbits that I think I want to push out there. Hope what I've been telling you has been informative. Hope what I've been telling you you've enjoyed and you've taken some notes. Like I said, this is just a start-off point. Things will be updated as we go along. Into the season and during the season. This has been the Master Plan. This has been JT. I'll talk to you later. See ya.
Insanity at its finest. Firestar, Riot Maker, Moonstricken, Animal Need, Bad Seed, Untamable.
Everybody around me always think they know what's going on inside my mind. Think I'm not the nice guy out of time. I didn't tell diary, you think you know, but you have no idea.
CFO, this could be, let's make more growth. She will be shaking your flow. Come against me, that's a no-no.
I can tell you're a woman's wanting for Donnie on the dance floor all the way in VIP.